So Rabbi Bosai, we're here on Daf Kuf Gimel Amud Beis, on the top line. This is where we were holding before my trip. And the Gemara tells a story, so to speak, an episode of Rav Dimi. Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, and it says Ki Asa Rav Dimi. When Rav Dimi arrived in Bavel, Omar, he transmitted the following dialogue or conversation regarding Avram and Achai. We've been discussing various aspects of Avram and Achai, and you may remember that Avram and Achai requires a kezias, but the chiddush of Avram and Achai is that kezias can be an integration of three elements of basar, gidin, and atzamos, right? The flesh of the limb together with the bones and the sinews. Normally, with regard to other machalos asuros, the Torah says you're chayav for eating a kezias of basar. For example, you have nevela, you're not chayav for eating a kezias of nevela that has what comprises the kezias is gidin vatzamos. The chiddush of Avram and Achai, we said, is that a full limb is made up not only of flesh but also of bones and sinews, and you're chayav for eating a kezias even though that kezias is comprised of bones and sinews. So that we've discussed in the past. And based on that, Omar, we have a transmission of a dialogue. This transmission is from Rav Dimi. The dialogue is between Rav Shimon ben Lakish and Rav Yochanan, in which by Minei Rav Shimon ben Lakish near Rav Yochanan, Rav Shimon ben Lakish, Reish Lakish, asks Rav Yochanan the following question. Chilko mi bachutz mahu. So if you want, you can underline those three words, because that's going to really occupy, those three words are going to occupy our minds for the rest of the hour. Rashi says, Chilko mi bachutz, which means he was machalek, he did an action, right, a verb called machalek, but what was the object that he was being machalek? Rashi says, Kizayis Avram min Achai. He had in front of him a kizayis, and he was machalek that kizayis. Rashi says, Chilek lishnayim. He split it up into two halves. Now, what does it mean, bibachutz? Literally, in the outside. Rashi says, kodem shiitnenu litoch piv. Before he placed it into his mouth. So, bachutz here, on the outside, means on the outside of his mouth. V'ochal zelavado, v'achaka chetzio hasheni. I'm going to add the word levado. Okay, I mean, it doesn't say levado, but it means he ate first half of the Avram and Achai, and then after he finished that, he goes back and he eats the second half of the Avram and Achai. So we might discuss three different actions. The first action is to actually split the Avram and Achai, to cut it in half, let's say. I mean, it didn't have to be halves, but whatever, into fragments. The second action is to chew it in his mouth. And then, thirdly, to swallow it, in which case it goes down into his intestines.
One after the other.
So the point is that when he swallowed the first half, he had not yet eaten the second half. And for that, we need what's called tziruf. You might want to write that word down, because again, that's a critical word for our discussion today. Tziruf, tzadi, yud, resh, vav, face of it, which means to integrate these two halves of a kezias, because as you and I know, he cannot be chayev unless he eats a full kezias. In truth, he ate a half of his eyes, and then he ate another half of his eyes. So why is that considered that he ate a full kezias? And the answer is tziruf. Tziruf means that we can integrate the two halves. Now, I would like to suggest a few possibilities as to how this tziruf is achieved. Meaning again, Mahu. Mahu says Mimitz Tarfei. Rashi says Lechiyuve Kechol Shar Isurim. In other words, Rashi is analyzing the two Tzdadim of Reish Lakish's Safek. My boy Minei means a Safek. The first side is that he's Chayev, even though he ate half and then another half, but at the end of the day he ate a whole, a full Kezias. And if we apply Tziruv, then he's Chayev. Rashi doesn't tell us yet how Tziruv is accomplished, but Rashi does tell us that this would not be surprising to us. This would not be an exception to the rule, Avram and Achai, but rather an application of the rule. That's why Rashi says, you might want to underline this, Kechol Shar Isurim. Now, what does it mean, Kechol Shar Isurim? A person eats half a nevela, then he eats a second half a nevela. If we can figure out why the two halves are mitztarfim, that would give us a clue as to why, according to one side in Reish Lakish, the same logic should apply, the same mechanics should apply in the case of Avraham Ben Achai, and Avraham Ben Achai is no different than Shar Isurim. So again, we're working with two premises in this side in Reish Lakish. Premise number one is that, in fact, in Shar Isurim there is a mitzaref to link together the first half of Kezias with the second. Premise number two is that Avraham Ben Achai is no different than all Shar Isurim. And the same way that there's a tziruf in all Isurim, like Nevela, etc., etc., so too there's a tziruf in Avraham Ben Achai. Now, on the side, and we'll get to this later, what's the second side of Reish Lakish? Is he rejecting the first premise or the second premise? Is he rejecting the universal principle of Tziruf with regard to Shar Isurim or no? He admits that there is a Tziruf in Shar Isurim. He's only arguing about the application of that universal principle of Tziruf to Avraham Ben Achai. Meaning, Reish Lakish is saying maybe Avraham Ben Achai is different. But again, going back to the first side, okay, that was a little digression, but going back to our main, according to Reish Lakish's first side, you're chayev in Avraham Ben Achai, even though you ate half a kezias and then a second half a kezias, there is a tziruf, and Avraham Ben Achai, like all Isurim, says Rashi, has a halacha of tziruf. Now Rashi is about to spill the beans as to what the mitzarif is. But I'd like to suggest another possibility, not Rashi's possibility. So just to confuse you, because that's what I like to do. There could be that the intestines, remember we said there were three actions going on here. First, he splits the Avraham Ben Achai into two halves. Then he chews one half and another half. And then he swallows it and it goes into his intestines, which is called Me'ayim. Mem'ayim. Yud Yud Mem. It could very well be that the Mitzarev of the two Kizesim is in the Me'ayim, is in the Kishkas, in the stomach. And the reason I say that is because we have halacha in many different areas of halacha. Let's take Birkas HaMazon for one, called Kidei Ikul. What does Kidei Ikul mean? Anybody know what the word Ikul means?
Digestion.
Excellent. And that's usually assumed to be a period of 72 minutes. So for example, if I eat a meal, I'm obligated to bench before 72 minutes goes by, because after those 72 minutes, it's gone. You know, the achila could last until your body digests it and converts it into whatever it converts it into, breaks it down. That's called the 72-minute period. So again, before I saw this Rashi, I thought what the Gemara is driving at here is, yes, you can be chayef eating one half as ayis and another half as ayis, as long as both halves are in the body at the same time, in the intestines, being digested, which would give us a span of 72 minutes. That's what I thought. But Rashi was smarter than me, I guess, right? And he says the following. The kaimalon, The mitztarfe shiurayu lechatzoyim b'toch kidei achilas pras. Okay. So the key words here that you want to underline are b'toch kidei achilas pras. Now this is a sugya. Rashi tells us, "Can I read a beperek basra de yuma at the end of Masechta Yuma?" And there the Gemara establishes the following: pras is half of a kikar, half of a loaf of bread. That's called a pras. Miloshan prusa. Prusa means to split it. And this shear of achilas pras is relevant to what's called a ruvei tchumin, which means that if I want to leave the radius of 2,000 amah on Shabbos, I have to put down an eruv, which is considered food for shtei sudos, and that's called achilas pras. Now, half of a kikar, which is called a pras, is enough for one seuda. You need the other half of a kikar for a second seuda, because in Erev Tchumen we need mazon shtei sudos, which would mean pras times two. Now, the Gemara in Yuma asks, how long of a time period does it take for a person to eat half of a kikar, which is called a pras? And the Gemara establishes that that's the same amount of time it takes to be mitzarif an achila of a kezayis, to integrate all the parts of a kezayis into one whole kezayis. And the shear of the eating of a pras is the time it takes to eat four beitzim, which according to many Rishonim, the Rambam sheet is three beitzim, but according to many Rishonim, that is about 4 minutes or possibly 8 minutes. So let's take the kula of 8 minutes. So if you take that kula, then it means that from the time that he ate the first half of kezayis until the time that he ate the second half of kezayis, less than 8 minutes or up to 8 minutes passed. So far, so good. That's called kidei achilas pras. Rashi says that the siruf of one half of kezayis with the second half of kezayis is not in the me'ayim, it's not in the intestines, but rather it's in the achil itself. If two achilos took place within a very short span of time, those two achilos are mitztarif and makes it into one achilo. Moshe l'man d'over dome, we have a loch of Haggadah Edus where both Edim have to testify at the same time. That's Tziruf Edim. But how can you mitztarif the Haggadah when one person speaks first and the other, you can't hear two people talking, yelling, screaming at the same time? So that's called Toch Kidei She'elas Shalom, which is a very short span of time, maybe 4 seconds. I don't know how long it takes to say Shalom Alecha Mori V'Rabi. There too you're being mitzarif the Maisa HaGadah. The Maisa HaGadah, the Sipra Edus of Reuven, becomes one simultaneous Maisa HaGadah with that of Shimon if they were attached by Kidei She'elas Shalom. So to an Achila, we have the Maisa Achila of a half a zayis together with the Maisa Achila of another half a zayis, they're Mitzurah in Kidei Achilas Pras within that very short span of time. Good? That's how Rashi learns the Tziruf over here. Oh, Dilma. Now Rashi shifts us on to the other track. Reish Lakish thinks that in such a case you're not chayev because you cut it, you cut this aver into two chatzis zaysim, and you ate each chatzis zayis separately. And when were the two chatzis zaysim eaten? If you T1 is when he began to eat the first chatzis, and T2 is when he completed eating the second zayis. How much of a period of time has elapsed between T1 and T2? Up to but not more than 8 minutes, if that's Ashir of Kidei Achilas Pras. And nevertheless, Reish Lakish thinks you're potter. Why? So again, is Reish Lakish going to deny the very basic principle of Tokedei Aschilus Pras as established by the Gemara at the end of Yuma? Or is he denying the relevance of that principle to Avram and Achai? And I think the latter approach is Rashi's approach. O Dilma, Kevan de Chidush, who is a pronoun referring to what?
Avram
and Achai. The Gidin Vatsomas, the Alma in general, with regard to other Isurim, if you eat the Gidin Vatsomas, lo Machayev Alayva Hocha, Machayev, and yet here you Chayev. The Ema Lecha, and therefore I will say, Ein Lecha Bo El Chidusho. I will not add any extra Chidushim. V'chi Ochel Le Bevas Achas, Machayev, if he eats the entire limb, the whole Aver of Kazayas, in one shot, he's Chayev. Why? The stam achilu bevasachas mashma, aval lechatzoin lo. Okay, now that last line is going to occupy our minds for a while. The word stam here is critical. Or shall I say stam achilu? That would be more accurate. Rashi says there's something called stam achila. Stam achila means, if I understand correctly, a definition of achila regardless of new dinim. In other words, let's strip it down to the raw achila. How do we define achila per se? And Rashi says that we define achila per se as an achila bivasachas. Whatever you eat in one fell swoop, whatever you eat simultaneously, that's called achila. Now you have another achila, that's a different achila. The halacha of kizayis bichde achilas pras, which is called a mitzarev, that's already piled on top. That's already extraneous, that's new, that's a chiddush that the Torah is mechadesh. And that's not achila. In other words, fundamentally, if you'd ask me, what would be the halachic definition of achila per se, it would be b'vas achas. But there's a din called siruf kedei achilas pras, but that din is already a new din. So what's the difference whether I call it the old din or the new din, if it's fundamental or if it's an add-on? The difference is going to be Avram and Achai. Avram and Achai is going to be defined, the Chiyuv of Avram and Achai, by the real nitty-gritty basic definition of Achila. All those Chidushim that are added, that allow me to take one Achila and add it to another Achila, those don't apply to Avram and Achai. Why? Because Avram and Achai is a Chidush. The Torah is very strict with Avram and Achai and told you Chai for something that you never ever would be Chai for, namely the eating of Atzomos and Gidin. Oh, if that be the case, we're not going to add on and expand the Chiyuv of Avram and Achai with other Chumras. Do you follow me? If the Torah was Machmer enough, that's called Dayo. You know, it's enough if the Torah was Machmer to say that you Chai for Gidin Atzomos. But to add another chiddush, they give me the tzarif, two different achilas, and we machayev you by integrating them together into one entity, one achila, that the Torah is not going to superimpose upon Avram and Achai. So if you had a list of all macholas asuros, you know, listed one below the other, those would be not a chiddush, but rather those would operate and be regulated by the normal halachas that define the chiyuv of macholas asuras in general. And in that context, relating to that list, we have the chiddush of the Gemara at the end of Yuma of Tziruv Kizayis Bechdei Achilas Pras. However, what's not on that list is something that is a choreg minaklal, right? It's the exception to the rule. It doesn't work by, and it's not subject to the regulations that apply to all Isurim. It has its own new chumrah. Right? I'll give you an example. If you remember, we discussed, again, I don't want to lose the place here, but if we discussed in the Mishnah on Daf Kuf Chet, right, in Kol Abos, the next parak, so the Mishnah says, Tipas Kolav Shenofa Al Chaticha, and we have some sort of a new halacha of Taimo Velo Mamasha, which means even if we remove the milk from this mixture, nevertheless, it still remains asur. And Abai says, why? Because Bas Bechol is a chidush. So what we see is that there's a principle in halacha called a chidush. Basar is heter, cholav is heti, you mix them together and boom, all of a sudden it becomes asur, that's a chidush. Here also, in Avraham Achai we have a chidush, you mix together basar with gidin and atzomas and yachayev. Oh, so Rish Lakish thinks, if you have a chidush, then we have no right to add and pile on another chidush on top of the first chidush. And with regard to all machol sasuros, we have the basic definition of achila, and then we have a chidush. The Torah allows you to be mitzarev two achilus into one. Well, that chidush only applies to the general rule and the list of stam machol sasuros, where you have just the basic definition in the Torah added to that, but there are no super chumras. But when we get to the chiddush of basar b'chalav, there we apply our fundamental definition of achila, but not this chiddush that you can be mitzaref one achila with another toch kidei achilus pras. So again, just to summarize, Reish Lakish was asking Rabbi Yochanan, what do we do in a case of someone who splits the Avraham and Achai into two, eats one half of a kezayis, then eats the second half of a kezayis? Do we apply the universal yardstick, the din of tziruf kidei achilas pras? Or do we say no? That din was given with regard to all machalos asuros that operate within the normal realm according to the regular regulations, but it doesn't apply to Avraham and Achai because Avraham and Achai is above the regulations. There's a chiddush that you're chayim for eating basar with gidin and tzomos, and we're not going to pile up another chiddush of tziruf achilos to the first chiddush. Now, what I want to give you is this photocopy. 1, 2. Yeah, there are a bunch of copies, more than we need, but some copies came out better than others. And
Achila is actual swallowing.
That we don't know.
Fast succession.
What we know is that Achila is chewing. We're not sure about swallowing.
So you're just looking at this page.
Yeah. No, so not. Jeff, you hold that one, just that side.
Okay.
And I'll take this. All right. Now, what I wanted to show you really is footnote Yud on the left side. So underline that, if you will. But before that, I want to show you one other footnote. And I apologize, it didn't come out as perfect as it should. This is actually footnote number Hey, but the Hey doesn't appear. So if you would be counting down from the top of the right column, the first word on your page should say halashon. Do you see that? Below the line that splits the page in half. Mm-hmm. Do you have halashon?
Shash matsui halashon.
Oh, okay, good. So if you go down there, there's a line that should start, but again, this part you might not have, Rashi, Dibra Maskel Mau, Umashe Shaninu.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Biyuma. Okay? So if you underline those three words, Umashe Shaninu Biyuma. Okay? Now, for the first three lines of that paragraph, until the words Halach Lamoshe Misinai, do you see that in the middle of the third line? And we're going to start with Ulefi Zeh, right? But let me just summarize what he says until that point. He quotes the Gemara in Yuma, and Rashi had already quoted that Gemara in Yuma to teach us that there is halach of tziruf in stam achilos, And that halacha of tziruf is toch kidei achilas pras. Good? But what Rashi doesn't tell you, and that's what he points out, is that the Gemara in Masechta Yuma asks, well, how do we know such a thing? Right? You know what I'm saying? We're missing a piece of the puzzle. What part? We discussed the fundamental definition of achila, and for that you need simultaneity. Whatever he eats bevas achas, that's called achila. Whatever he eats afterwards is not part of that first achila. But then we said that there was a chiddush din on top of that of tziruf, that you could be mitzayif two different achilas and make them into one. The Gemara in Yuma establishes that chiddush based on halacha l'moshe misinai. So you want to underline halacha l'moshe misinai, meaning that very often when you have a chiddush din, the Gemara says minani mili, how do you know this? And the Gemara looks at the Torah and tries to derive it in the alfusa from one pasuk to the other. In this case, the halacha of tziruf achilos to kidei achilos pras is not derived from a pasuk, but it's derived from halacha l'moshe misinai. But I just want to make one point up front so that nobody makes a mistake about that. Halacha l'moshe misinai is doraisa, no less than any other alfusa. Now, even though in cases X, Y, and Z, minani mili, I derive from a pasuk, and that's certainly doraisa, and in cases A, B, and C, we don't have any pasuk, nevertheless, A, B, and C are also deraisa if it's halacha l'moshe misinai. So we have now a halacha l'moshe misinai called tziruf kidei achilos pras. Tziruf achilos? What we don't know is, Avosin, can you help me out here? Fill in my next sentence for me. We have the halacha l'moshe misinai, but we don't know what? The scope. The application of the halacha l'moshe. The halacha l'moshe misinai is given, is transmitted from Moshe Rabbeinu through the generations as a general rule. But the specific cases included in that rule are not part of the transmission, which leads it to the human mind to analyze and possibly even vacillate back and forth on the question, well, what cases come under that or are governed by that rule called tziruf kidei achilos pras? And that's exactly the vacillation of Reish Lakish with regard to Avraham ben Achai. Is Avraham ben Achai included in the halacha l'moshe misinai, and therefore the application, the rule of tziruf tol kidei achilos pras applies to Avraham ben Achai just as it applies to Stam Shar Machalos Asuras, or no? The halacha l'moshe misinai is only given with regard to Shar Machalos Asuras, but it was never given to apply to Avraham ben Achai. That's the rub of Reish Lakish's question to Rav Yochanan. And this is what Rashi means when he says that perhaps Avraham ben Achai is not included in the halacha l'moshe misinai, because Avraham ben Achai is a chiddush, and therefore what we're limited to is the simple understanding of achila. And what's the simple understanding of achila before the halacha l'moshe misinai? Bevasachas. Again, I don't have a blackboard, so you'll have to help me out. If you could write the following on your page, the first heading should be, we'll call it the Havana Pshuta. Havana Pshuta means the simple fundamental understanding. And underneath that you'll write Bevasachas. Achila Bevasachas. The second heading is Halacha L'moshe Misinai. That's not the Halacha Kipshuta. And that's tziruf tol kidei achilos pras, which is the flip side, the opposite side of bevasachas. Underneath that, you have a third heading, which is called Sfeiko Shel Reish Lakish. Again, if I had a blackboard, I would chart this out for you. And under that heading of Sfeiko Shel Reish Lakish is Eivir Ben Achai. Does Eivir Ben Achai come under the Halacha Moshe Misinai? And what's compelling Reish Lakish to think that no, that the Halacha Moshe Misinai of Tzir of Kedei Achilles Pas does not apply to Eivir Ben Achai is the fact that Eivir Ben Achai itself is bonkers. It's bizuris. It's a chidush. It undermines everything that we know about Machalas Asuras and the chiv thereof, namely that you could be chai for eating gidin vatsos. Once we have Eivir Ben Achai with the chidush, Reish Lakish thinks we go back to the Havana Pshuta of Achilu, which requires what? The Vasachas. And the Halacha Moshe Misinai, which allows for Tziruv Kedei Achilles Pras, no longer is in operation, no longer applies to Eivir Ben Achai. That's what he has here in Rashi. And now comes along the Minchas Baruch. Okay, so if you have heading number 4, whatever number we're up to, you write down Minchas Baruch. I don't know exactly what his name was right now. If I have the green book, I can check it out, but I don't have access, so it's not worth that time. But suffice it to say that he lived approximately 150 to 200 years ago. And he says that he found a Gemara in Zvachim that says the exact opposite of what Rashi says here. And this Gemara in Zvachim is on Daf Ayin Amud Aleph. And the Gemara, I'm just going to read to you the Gemara. The Gemara says, Salke dait chamina de blias of chidushu vafilu yosem ikte achilus pras litz tarif. The Gemara says, in Zvachim Daf Ayin, in the case of someone who swallowed a bird, a whole bird, small bird, that he salkedait chamina, we should think that since it's a chidush, that he's chaya for eating a whole bird, because again, what is this bird comprised of? Not just flesh, but also what? Gidim vatsavos. Therefore, he's chaya even if he eats it piecemeal, outside of Kedei Achilles Pras, Yosef Kedei Achilles Pras. Frek de Minchas Baruch, this is antithetical to Rashi. Rashi says because Eivir Ben Achai is a chidush, therefore you cannot be mitzarev with Kezayis Kedei Achilles Pras, but rather you have to eat it all b'vasachas. The Gemara in Zvachim asks the Minchas Chinuch, operates with the exact opposite premise, that because Eivir Ben Achai is a chidush, therefore, you don't even need Kizayis Bechtei Achilles Pras. You can be Mitzarev, and even if the Kizayis was eaten piecemeal more than 8 minutes. So time T1, and from T1 to time T2 was 9 minutes, if you follow. Says the Minchas Baruch, this is what you call sugyos chalukos. Means contradictory or mutually exclusive sugyas. Each sugya operates with an opposite premise. Two premises that are antithetical. He says the following. Our sugya here in Chulin is operating with the premise that fundamentally achila means bevasachas, and Halacha Moshe Misinai is telling us to be machmir, such that you could be chayav even without bevasachas with kizayis with the achila's pras. And therefore, Agmar thinks, Reish Lakish thinks, that you can't add this chumra on top of the chumrah of Gidin Vatsamos. Enough that we have one chumrah of Gidin Vatsamos. Now you can add another chumrah of what? Of Tziruf? No. The Halacha Moshe Misinai wants to be Machmer Tziruf, but have compassion on Eivir Ben Achai. You've already given Eivir Ben Achai such a smack, such a patch of a chumrah, that you chai for giving matzos, don't add another patch. Don't hit the child twice and say, you know what, you're going to be chayiv even for tziruf. No, let's go back to the basic fundamental halacha, the nitty-gritty halacha, kipshuta of vasachas. Without vasachas, you're not chayiv. Don't add an additional chumra of kizayis v'chayachil's pras. Whereas...
Achas is a mouthful.
Correct. That he puts the entire kizayis in his mouth as is.
Right.
Whole and complete. How he gets it down, that's going to be another story. Okay, we'll get to that later, but that's the second half of this sukkah, called Bliya. But now in terms of Achila, we're talking about what goes into his mouth. What went into his mouth was half his eyes and then another half his eyes. Those are two Achilos. Now you want to apply the Chumrah of Tziruf, of the Halacha Moshe Mitzrayim. Dayenu, enough that you applied the chumrah of gidin v'atzomos. Now you're going to tell me, well, he ate these gidin v'atzomos piecemeal, and he's chai for a tziru because of the halacha Moshe Mitzrayim. That far Reish Lakish says maybe we don't have to go. Ad kan mesech tuchul. Now we get to mesech tuzvach, an entirely different premise. Hasugya v'vizvachim savra shestam achila hi bekol shehu. Could you underline those words? Those words I think you have. But it's four lines up before the end of the paragraph. Can you underline those words? And underline in the line above that. Sugya bizvachim. If you want, you can even underline before that, if you go up another two lines, it says, Halach l'moshe misini bo lahachmir. And that's the sugya, one line above that, sugya senu. So I'm just trying, you know, I'm trying to highlight those words that'll, again, because I'm hoping in my dreams that you'll take this home. And after you leave, of course, I start collecting all the pages, but that's... All right. So again, our sugya is assuming that the halacha l'moshe misinai is coming lahachmir to say that yechayev even with tziruf. That's our sugya. The sugya in Tzvachim is operating with the opposite premise, that halacha l'moshe misinai is coming not lahachmir, but lahakel. What does it mean, lahakel? So for that, we have to create a stam achila in the context of mesech tzvachim. Correct? So the havana pshuta. Remember we had in our, if you had it in your flowchart, you had havana pshuta. So that havana pshuta that you had before, we'll call it Roman numeral number one, that's the sugya here in Chulin. Now we're going to have Roman numeral number two, havana pshuta of mesech tzvachim. And that's called kaldahu. Kaldahu means the smallest amount. You eat the smallest amount, then you eat another small amount, and then another small amount. And finally, you get to a kezayis. That's the havana pshuta, which means that it doesn't matter how long it takes you to eat this. Again, it has to be continuous achila. I don't mean, you know, he ate a drop and then he went out to, you know, to play baseball, to play hardball, you know, out in the field. No, that's not what we're talking about. He swallows a piece and then he swallows another piece and another piece and another piece. It may take him an hour or even a day until he finally gets to the buzzer goes off, you know, he gets to the kezayis. But nevertheless, Yechayev. Yechayev for a kezayis, even if that kezayis is a tziruf of kaldahus, of very minimum amounts, which takes you a very long period of time. That's called Havana Pshuta, according to which sugya? Tzvachim. Tzvachim daf ayin. Now we get to Halacha L'moshe Mitzrayim. The halacha l'moshe misinai, which according to our sugya, was coming to be makil. No, I'm sorry, was coming to be machmir coming to be machmir to say that even though the Havana Pshuta was that you need Bavasachas, no, we can mitzarev. The Halacha L'Moshe Misinai now, according to Zvachim, is coming to be Mekil and say no. If it takes you an hour, that's not Achila Mitzarefes. The Tziruf Achila has to be within a limited amount of time, and how much is that?
8 minutes.
Tokyo Achilles Pras, which we'll, again we'll call it 8 minutes. Again, there are many shittas about how long Tokyo Achilles Pras is. So I don't know, Rabosai, do you, I hope this is not too personal of a question, but do you eat pizza? Anybody here eat pizza?
Yeah.
Nobody?
Yeah.
Well, you do eat pizza. Okay, good. Now, do you wash and bench on pizza?
Depends how big it is.
Oh, so if you eat, let's say two slices betoch kedei achilas pras, you know, if you're gonna eat one after the other, then you definitely should be washing and benching, because then the mitzarif did both pieces into one. All right. In any event, getting back to our sugya, now we're gonna say, well, not our sugya, but what I mean is the sugya in Tzvachim. Now we're gonna say that Allah L'moshe Misina is coming lahakil and saying that the only time you chai for nevela, which you ate piecemeal, is if all the pieces making up the kezayis were eaten within a tolkid achilas pras. Oh. Now we get to Avram and Achai. So Avram and Achai, in the context of our sugya, Reish Lakish, is going to be, well, don't add a chumra to a chumra. But in the context of, right, don't add the chumra of kizayis b'chlei achilas pras as a mitzarif based on halacha b'chitzinah, don't add that to the chumra of gin v'atzomos of Avram and Achai. But in the context of Zvachim, where Avram and Achai is now, where halacha b'chitzinah b'chitzinah is now what? Not a chumra, but a kula. Why should I apply that kula to Avram and Achai? In Avram and Achai, I always suspend the operation of the Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. I go back to the Havana Pshuta. Well, in our sugya, the Havana Pshuta was that there is no tziruf. So you have to eat the entire kesayis of Avram and Achai for Masachas. Hence, we produce Reish Lakish. But in the context of the Gemara in Zvachim, if we do away with Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, the Kula, then we go back to Havana Pshuta, then Adarabah, even beyond Kizayis B'chei Achilas Pras, HaKim Mitzarif, the various Achilas, that's called Koldu, and to construct a Kizayis, which is the sum total of many different Achilos, that was spanned over the course of hours, for example, as one continuous Achilah. This is the Minchas Baruch. Very gishmak. Okay, I'm just going to take a second to... I'll just go around the other way. So, Jeff, you don't mind if I trouble you? Yeah, it's like a window seat could be in the plane.
Yeah.
Omar Lay, back to the Gemara. So Rabbi Yochanan responds to Reish Lakish, Potter. Meaning, according to our sugya, we're not going to apply the chumra of the Halacha L'Moshe Misinai to Avram and Achai. And there is no din of tziruf achilos of kizayis b'chtei achilos pras. Therefore, according to Rabbi Yochanan, once you split the Avram and Achai mibachutz, and you eat it piecemeal, you pot. No way, no how could we mitzarif the first achila to the second achila. Now Reish Lakish asks him a second question. Bifnim mai already indicates an issue about belia, about swallowing. Let's say he puts the Avram and Achai into his mouth, bevasachas one entire kezayis, but he swallows it piecemeal, meaning he chews it up inside his mouth into smaller portions, and he swallows them one at a time. So he never really swallowed a full kezias in one second. Amale chayev. Here Rabbi Yochanan says to Reish Lakish, yechayev. There's no need to swallow the entire kezias as long as you put the entire kezias into your mouth as a whole, complete kezias, yechayev. Ki asa ravin. Until now we've been dealing with Rav Dimi, who came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. Now, Ravin comes from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. He has a slightly different view or transmission of what went on in the dialogue between Rabbi Yochanan, between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan. Amar, and this is what he told us. Chilko mibachutz potur. There was no question in anyone's mind that you have to put the Eivor Menachai as a whole kezias into your mouth, bevasachas. That was never an issue. And Reish Lakish never even asked that question. It was simple and universally accepted that there is no din of tziruf kizayis b'chtei achilus pras. You need an achila bevas achas, which means you have to place it into your mouth, an entire kizayis in one fell swoop. That's for sure. Mi b'fnim, but in the case where he placed the kizayis into his mouth whole, but he chewed it up and swallowed it piecemeal, on that there was a machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan Omar Chayov, Reish Lakish Omar Potter. And now the Gemara is going to analyze the machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Does he have to swallow the entire kezias of Eivor Menachai in one fell swoop? Rabbi Yochanan Amar Chayav, even though he swallowed part of it first and the other part of the kezayis second, he's Chayav. And why is that? Because what did he place into his mouth? An entire kezayis. Hare nene grono b'kezayis. Because he had a hanas goron of a full kezayis simultaneously. Goron means the part of his mouth before the swallowing. And in that part of his mouth, he had a full kezias of Eivor Menachai. That's what he enjoyed in his mouth. Reish Lakish Amar Potur Achila B'meyav B'inon. The Hanah for which Yechayev is not Hanah's Goron, but rather Hanah's Me'ayim. May I am meaning the intestine, the leka. Now, let's look at Rashi. Rashi says, "Mi b'fnim li'achar sheba somuch lebeis b'liyaso bolo lechatzoyim." Rashi says he took a whole kezias into his mouth, and then he swallowed it in parts, piecemeal swallowing. And that's somuch lebeis b'liyaso. In other words, he has a full kezias close to the gullet. I don't know what you call it, where he swallows it. But even though he had a full kezias at that point, he never actually swallowed the kezias. He never actually gulped it down as one whole kezias. It's according to Reish Lakish, he's potu. Why? Because achila b'meya. He's got to have the entire kezias when it goes down into his b'nei me'ayin. Now notice that Rashi is making a little bit of a shift here. He's adjusting somewhat. This is Rashi's adjustment. Now if you talk about a kezias in his intestine, then he actually does have a kezias in his intestine, even if he swallows them piecemeal, because of the shear that we spoke about before of kidei equal, meaning until it actually gets digested, everything that comes in is integrating in the meayim. But no, Rashi says you have to make a little bit of an adjustment here. Kishu yored letoch on its way down. On its way down is actually the act of blia when he swallows it. So at the act of blia was a piecemeal act of blia. There was no blia of an entire kizayis. And what is Reish Lakish Paskin then on this case where there was no blia? What do you say?
Pot.
So our both say, what does that mean then? According to Reish Lakish, not only in order to be chaya for a kezias of Eber ben Achai, not it's not enough that instead of cutting it, he puts it into his mouth whole. That's not going to be enough. He also has to do what? Whole. What's the X?
Swallow it.
He has to swallow it. Whole. So take a look at the next line of the Gemara. The Gemara says, the following. Elo l'Rab Yochanan. I'm sorry. Elo l'Rab Shimon ben Lakish. Hechi mishkachas le demachayev. Rashi. B'kizayis ha e efshar lilos achila kula biyachah. What's the Gemara claiming now? John, it's impossible to do what?
It's impossible.
To do what?
To swallow
the whole kizayis in one fell swoop. Omar of Kahana, bigrumisa ze'ersa. Now everybody knows what a grumisa dezersa is, right? No, just joking. Yeah. So Rashi explains that we're talking about an etzem katan shalkaf hayerech. Okay, so we'd have to know our anatomy here. You don't have the art score, right? Because you have a different volume. I don't know what art score will tell you if they're actually give you the not the Greek, what's it called? Yeah, the Latin or the Greek words for a grumisa. But whatever it is, Rashi says it's a small bone that's located on the thigh. And what's unique about this bone? Sheyeshbo mashu basar. I don't know, mashu. It's made up mostly of bones and sinews. This anatomy of the thigh.
Easier to swallow.
I guess. I guess it's common. I don't know. You could swallow again. I don't know what's going on here, but Rashi says that in such a case, ain't all them lost. Now, normally you chew something up, you want to get out the meaty parts of it, right? And enjoy that. But here, there's very little flesh, very little meat on the bone. So I don't know exactly what pleasure you'll get out of this other than the fact that your belly, if you're hungry enough. Let's talk about someone who's he's out there in the jungles and he's eating full limbs from animals and swallowing them in order to get satiate his absolutely starving hunger. So when it comes to this grumisa, he's going to swallow it, a kezias of it, in one blia. And that becomes, in a sense, the normal way people do it if they have to eat a grumisa. Now those who eat a kezias matzah, the blia achas. I just picture it in my mind, just keep stuffing matzah into your mouth until you have a whole kezias, and then chew it up in your mouth, and then swallow the entire kezias. Now, a kezias, I think, is 2/3 of a matzah. Could you imagine swallowing 2/3 of a matzah with one gulp? So I would say that's not normal. And I would wonder whether or not that's achilas matzah. Okay, but people do it. I don't know. Maybe I have to take him to the hospital afterwards. I don't know. But in the case of this group, my grumisa, what's it called again? Grumisa. Did anybody hear of a grumisa? I never heard of this grumisa, but it seems that, you know, that's what you're going to do in the case of grumis. So it comes out of both sides that the only Eivor Min HaChai for which you're chayav, according to Reish Lakish, is the grumisa. Because according to Reish Lakish, you need hanos neayin, which means you have to swallow the entire kezayis in one fell swoop, and it's only possible to do that in the case of grumisa. Yeah, it's unbelievable. It comes out that 99.999% of Eivor Min HaChais you can't be chayav for, according to Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan, on the other hand, says you chayav. Why? Because you don't have to eat it bevasachas. I mean, you don't have to swallow it bevasachas to be chayav for kezayis Eivor Min HaChais. All you have to do is make sure that a full kezayis goes into your mouth. And now you can start chewing it up in your mouth and swallowing it piecemeal. And at the end of the day, since you swallowed a full kezayis, you're chayav. So again, if you chop up the Eivor Min HaChais outside of your body before you eat it, even though you eventually chewed and swallowed a kezayis, b'chdei achilas pras, the halacha of kezayis achilas pras doesn't apply L'chumra to an Eivor Min HaChais. For Eivor Min HaChais you need an achila pshuta, which we called bevasachas. So he puts into his mouth a full Eivor or full kezayis worth of Eivor, and then he chews it up and he swallows it piecemeal. That's fine, because the tziruf of achila was already achieved when he puts the full kezayis into his mouth. Reish Lakish goes a step further and he says not only do you need a complete kezayis in terms of what goes into your mouth, but even what goes out of your mouth, meaning down into your stomach, that also requires a kezayis. What I don't understand is what would Reish Lakish say about Shari Yisurim? I would assume that Reish Lakish would agree in Shari, you know, this Grumaisa is an Eivor Min HaChais Grumaisa. I don't think that Reish Lakish would say that in order to be Chai for Kezayis Nevela, you've got to swallow the full Kezayis for Vasachas. There's lots of flesh. Nobody would eat it for Vasachas. No one would swallow. Only in this case of Grumaisa, of Eivor Min HaChais, would you eat the whole thing for Vasachas. Otherwise, it's unthinkable. So in other words, if I were to ask you according to Reish Lakish, under what circumstance would you be chayv for a kezayis nevela? So you're going to tell me, well, he swallowed the entire kezayis nevela of Vasachas? Chas v'sholem. He'll probably die from such a thing. But what it means is that in his mouth he is chewing up a kezayis of nevela. And this leads us, Rabosai, to footnote number Yud. The only thing is that I think we're running a little bit short on time. So let me just give you an introduction to what we want to study in Mirtzah Hashem B'li Neder on Yom Chamishi. Tosus has two kashas on Rashi's Pshat. The first kasha of Tosus is that the Gemara in Yuma claims that the Beis HaBliya, I don't know what word to use for Beis HaBliya, but I'm pointing to it. So,
yeah, right.
You know, it's the bottom of the throat, right? Is able to contain within it a Beitzas Tarnagolas, a full egg. The size of the Beis HaBliya is the equivalent of a full chicken's egg. Mm-hmm. I don't know, you have to ask the anatomist if that works out. My brother-in-law, I have to talk to him, he got a PhD in anatomy from the University of Maryland, so he'll be able to tell me if this is anatomically so. But as I state in the Gemara at the end of Yuma, the Beis HaBliya is machzik a Beitzas Tarnagolas. Now a Beitzas Tarnagolas is more than a kezayis. Therefore, says Tos, I don't say according to Rashi, why can't you swallow a full kezayis b'vasachas? You certainly have a lot of extra room there, even more than a kezayis, because you got room for an egg of a tarnagol. So that's kasha number one. And kasha number two is, Tosus doesn't understand why Reish Lakish should require that you have to be bolea a full kizayis b'vasachas, if Reish Lakish is concerned with hanos me'ayim, why can't you eat it, swallow it piecemeal, and it's mitztarif in his me'ayim, which is what we discussed before the shir of k'day ikul. And based on these two kashas, Tosis reinterprets the entire sugya of Reish Lakish. So our goal for Yom Chamishi would be A, to review Rashi Shita, and B, to review the two kashas, the objections that Rashi, that Tosis raised against Rashi, and C, to try to figure out what Tosis is going to present as a substitute for Rashi and how he avoids the two kashas. And then, last but not least, to try to defend Rashi against the two kashas of Tosfos. Okay? So that's, if you can hold on to this page, because again, even though, you know, note number 5 was a little bit cut out, but note number 10 is complete. So that's good. Okay then, so we'll be able to, in Mirtz Hashem, complete our project on Thursday. After we finish this, we come to the end of Perek Yid Anoshe, and we'll have to decide, you know, where we want to conclude, because the beginning of Kol Basa we already learned, so that we'll be able to discuss hopefully later on. Later on. What do you say?
I've got the answer from the 8th.
For the 8th Perek, okay, that you have. But so do me a favor if you can. So we'll be prepared for this discussion on Wednesday. Look over the 8th parak and see what parts we did, because I think there were parts of the 8th parak that we did not get a chance to do. All right then.